Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Right, so for today's message, I want to talk about seeking God's purpose. Now, why did I choose this topic? I think as I kind of pray about it, typically at the start of the year, we will share with you our youth ministry vision, what we're going to do. But I really feel more and more that you guys need to start to take responsibility over your own lives. So as your pastor, I think one thing I can help you is to start you off by thinking about your purpose. And it's a good way to start the new year, to rededicate ourselves back to God's purpose. And I think that this week itself is quite an apt time to talk about that, because I know that many of you receive your O-level results, and perhaps you really do not know what to make out of it. I hope tonight's message will be able to bless you in that sense. And to help us along, we are going to look at a passage of Matthew chapter 5. And why I chose this passage is because I think that most of you don't need me to explain to you why do we need purpose. You already understand that. But I think most of us, what do we need is more of a focus and clarity. Alright, two things, focus and clarity. Because most of us, we probably have a sense of what purpose we should have, but we often get distracted, right? That's number one. One of the things we always get hindered by is the distractions in our life. And the second thing, I guess, it would be the fact that most of us, we are unclear, uncertain of what God really wants. So when we look at this passage, I believe it will give us the focus that is necessary to overcome our distractions, as well as, you know, that clarity to help us to be certain. Okay, so we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5. It's actually a very familiar passage. We're going to start off with what is known as the Beatitudes. Now, how many of you know what's the Beatitudes? Right, the Beatitudes are basically the sayings of Jesus, when Jesus says, blessed are the so and so. Right, so the Beatitudes are actually a handle for us to be able to overcome the distractions and then to start to seek God's purposes. So what exactly are the Beatitudes? The Beatitudes are actually a list of things. You can see from the slides, there are actually nine of them, right? Nine statements. Jesus will say, blessed are the so and so. But I think that this list can actually go on, right? So just to give you an example, this is actually the version from Matthew, but Luke has another version, and they start off differently. So Matthew says, blessed are the poor in spirit, but Luke just says, blessed are the poor, right? So you can see there's sort of a difference, and some people ask, so which is the correct version? I think both can be correct, because the essence of the Beatitudes can refer to both, right? You see, whether you are poor in spirit, that means you are feeling broken, or you are just poor, that means you are broke. It is basically what Jesus is referring to, alright? Jesus is actually trying to refer to a group of people whom you normally wouldn't think are blessed, right? So let me give you an analogy. Now, how many of you say that you are blessed if you actually won maybe cannot say lottery, right? If you won a lucky draw, would you consider yourself blessed? Yes. But let's say someone forget your birthday, and then you forgave that person, would you consider you are blessed? Maybe not, right? You know, especially when, at a point when you're still very angry with the person for forgetting your birthday. Right? So you see that in our minds, we have a certain idea, right? What kind of people will be blessed? And when Jesus lists down these nine things, he's trying to give us a picture that most of the time when people refer to being blessed, it is referring to things that are more of a superficial nature, right? So Jesus is trying to help us to see that actually being truly blessed doesn't mean that you have to be, you know, doing well in life, you are the richest person on earth, right? So now my question to you is, how many of you believe that today you are truly blessed? Very good. Now, how about those of you who just received your O-level results and you don't think you did well? Do you still feel that you are blessed? Okay, you don't have to raise your hands, but I hope that you begin to think seriously about this question. Of course, if the answer is no, you can answer very honestly to yourself, no. But begin to think about these kind of questions, right? For those of you who, you know, your family background is not good, you know that your family, you know, is struggling with finances, or your parents, their marriage are on the rocks. Even in those times, would you still consider yourself blessed? That is the question I want to pose to all of us today. Right? And I think the whole point of the Beatitudes is this, that Jesus is trying to use the Beatitudes to debunk the myths of what we commonly understand happiness to be. Because in the pursuit of happiness, it's very easy for us to chase after the wrong things in life, and then we end up, we think that we chase after these things to be happy, but actually you end up worse. Right? I know for some of the older ones, maybe we work so hard just to plan for a holiday, and then we come back, realize that we are back to square one, we are tired, you know, and so forth again. So I think the Beatitudes is really a good reminder for us not to chase after the wrong things in life. So I really hope that you start thinking, alright, because innate in us is a desire to be happy. But I believe through the Beatitudes, Jesus is reminding us that it's not about chasing after these things. Okay? Are you all following me so far? Yes? Okay, very good. Alright, so if you learn how to pursue true happiness, true blessedness, according to what Jesus teaches, if you heed Jesus' teaching, then you're on the right track. Right? Then you have the handle to overcome the distractions of life. And this is where we move on to looking at our purpose. Right? And Jesus then starts to declare our purpose in verse 13. So can you see the flow? Right? When Jesus taught his disciples, he first helped them to understand what true happiness is. Then after that, he moves to talk about the purpose. Right? And let's move to verse 13. It's on the slide. Let me read it for you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You'll get what this verse is trying to say? But this verse is actually very familiar, alright? So sometimes it becomes too familiar for us. So I thought of a kind of a summary and a paraphrase for you. I always call it the, you know, PTV. It's the Peter Dunn version. Alright, so can I have the next slide, please? Okay, let me read it for you. Right, it says, you are Jesus' disciple. But if a disciple loses God's purposes for him, how can he be a disciple? You are Jesus' disciple. A disciple of Jesus doesn't seek out blessings for himself. In the same way, seek to be a blessing to all men, that they may be blessed and bless God. You understand what I'm trying to convey, right? Through my paraphrase. So it's important to have that purpose and to capture it afresh. So what am I trying to say through my paraphrase, alright? What exactly is God's purpose for us? If I can kind of sum it up very broadly speaking, God's purpose for us is to be a blessing, right? First he talks about how blessed different people are, but now he talks about our purpose. And our purpose is to be a blessing to all people. Right? In other words, you can almost say the very cliche statement, right? That God has blessed you to be a blessing. Right, to be a blessing to other people. So this is what should go on in our minds. Alright, our focus should not be trying to get blessings in our own life. Right, nothing wrong with this kind of blessings. If you are rich, then so be it. Alright, just thank God for that. Nothing wrong with that. But our focus shouldn't be to pursue after these kind of things. Instead, it should be to seek to be a blessing to other people. Right, just like how in Matthew 6 later on it says, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness and all these blessings will be given unto you. Right, so I believe that when we seek to bless other people, like my paraphrase says, that is actually the means that God created for us to be able to bless him. You see, God doesn't need anything for us, ma. So he has created a means for us to bless him, and that is true, blessing other people. And in fact, this is all throughout the Bible. You know, last year we had Pastor Daniel talk so much about covenant. And where did the covenant of God started? Right from Abraham. Right? And if you read Genesis chapter 12, this was how God started. Right? He went to Abraham and he says, I'll bless you, I'll make your name great, and you'll be a blessing to all. So we are inheritors of that covenant. And all through the biblical history, you see how God has always called his people to be a blessing to people. Alright, so this is our purpose. Right? We are called to be a blessing. Everyone say, called to be a blessing. Right? Say it with more conviction. Called to be a blessing. Okay? So why don't you turn to the neighbor beside you and say, you are a blessing to me. Okay? So hopefully you appreciate the people around you. Okay? So God calls us to be a blessing to the world. And I think that if you think back of your experiences, right? Those of you who went on mission trips, who went on community outreaches last year, you will understand what I mean. Right? Because very often you go to the people who you are trying to bless, but you realize they have so little, and yet they can be so contented and hospitable. Am I right to say that? Am I right to say that, my Cebu team? Right? And at the same time, it's really such a joy. Right? I really enjoyed my mission trip. Actually, one of the things I was really afraid is that between me and them, there's Gigi. Right? I'm so much older, it's like whether I'll have a generation gap with them. But I really enjoyed my trip, my time with them. I really enjoyed what it means to be serving with a group of people who are like-minded, right? Who desire to sought to be a blessing. And that has really been a blessing for me. And I believe the same for those of you who went out as well. Right? So it's very clear to us, whether by the word of God or by our own experiences, that God's purpose for us is to be a blessing. Right? This passage says, salt and light. And I know you, because you guys have been in church for, okay, most of you here have been in church for a very long time. So you know this phrase very well. Right? You know this concept through the rest of the Bible and through everyone, right, telling you that we are to be the salt and light. So much so that sometimes it's very cliche. But the truth is that this is still the truth, right? God has created us to be a blessing. And because it's so cliche and so broad that some of you may actually think to yourself, or you may even ask me, you know what? What can this actually do for my life? You know, this statement is so broad. This phrase is so broad. But what I need in my life is something more specific, right? What I need to have in my life now is to have God tell me what kind of goals maybe should I set for this year, right? For those of you who just received your O-level results, you may be thinking, okay, what I need now is really God to show me exactly, you all got this book, right? Exactly which course should I choose? You know, which school should I choose? Or maybe for some of the older ones, right? What has this got to do with the kind of job or the kind of life partner and so on that I'm going to choose today? Do you want to know the answer? The answer is, I can't tell you. Right? What I can only tell you is this very broad purpose. And for the specifics that you really desire to find out, you have to be the one to ask God for yourself. You have to be the one to seek God for yourself. And this is really what I desire you to seek for yourself. You know what? Because the way that God works in our lives is that He won't reveal everything about your life to you at one go. Okay? I'm not just making it up, because I believe the Bible tells us so. Right? If you look at the life of Abraham, what did God do? Right? God first started off by giving him this very broad purpose that I talked about in Genesis chapter 12. And then after that, what's the next thing that God says to him? The two letter words that starts with G. Just go. Go where? I don't know. Just go. Right? But as you read the rest of Genesis, you begin to see that in chapter 15, chapter 17, bit by bit, God begins to reveal to him more and more. Right? So even though for us we read it's just a chapter, a few chapters, but for him, it's actually a matter of years. Right? It takes Abraham a couple of years to begin to just walk up in faith and then have God to begin to show him more and more of how that general purpose becomes specific in his own life. You get what I'm trying to say? Right? So the way God works is the same for everyone. Right? He will start off, now we have the Bible to tell us what our general purpose is. But you need to take a step of faith to begin to walk according to that general purpose. And progressively, God will show you more and more of what He has for you. You understand what I'm trying to say? You understand? You stay with me? Right? So it's actually a journey of discovery. And what is this journey of discovery? I believe this journey of discovery is what we call the walk of faith. Right? This is how people like Abraham, you know, if you fast forward to Hebrews 11, he's one of those who's called a man of faith. He can't be a man of faith if God appeared to him one day and says, for the rest of your life, this is exactly how your life is going to roll out. But he was called a man of faith because God showed him what that big picture purpose is, and Abraham had the choice, right? Not that he has no choice, but he still had the choice whether to anchor his life on that general purpose and to walk in it, or to just walk on his own path. Right? By the moment he anchored his life on that general purpose, he still have to trust God bit by bit, including in those times where God seemed silent, including in those times where nothing seemed to be working out, including in those times he looked at his wife and he's thinking like, my wife is not like Fang Fang, you know, she's barren. And just like you look at the different kinds of situations in your life and you're just wondering, this is not going to work. Abraham had that. And man, I tell you, I believe God really enjoyed that journey walking with Abraham, right? And this is the same, I believe, how God wants to work with you. Working with you through a certain level of uncertainty, but yet still giving you certainty through His Word, the general purpose. Okay? So with this, what this broad purpose won't tell you is everything you need to know about your life. Alright, what this broad purpose won't tell you is everything you need to know about your life. But what this broad purpose can be is like an anchor. You know, like how a ship has an anchor. If you have this anchor, you actually set your life direction in a firm foundation that the Holy Spirit can continue to guide you along the way. But if you don't have this general purpose as your anchor, what happens is that actually you will hinder the Holy Spirit's guidance in your own life. Okay? So it's really a very serious choice that you have to make. And what I have to do today is not to tell you something new about this purpose. But what I have to do today is to actually get you to reflect. Do you really have this broad purpose as your anchor? So I'm not asking you whether do you know this purpose in your head, right? Can you recite to me what Matthew chapter 13 to 16 is? I'm not asking about your internal natural knowledge about this, but asking deep in your heart, in every aspect of your life, do you see this verse as your anchor, the purpose that directs your life? Ken, this is the most important thing I need you to remember for tonight. Do you see this purpose of being salt and light as your anchor for tonight? If it's yes, praise Jesus. But if it's no, you're going to find that no matter what you do in life, even if your life is smooth sailing all the way, you get A's for all your, you know, all through school, you're still going to feel very empty at the end of the day. And how do you know whether you have this broad purpose as your anchor today? You know by looking at the mirror. All right, where is the mirror? I've actually given you a mirror. You want to make a guess? Where is the mirror? Shout it out. Where is the mirror? Not the ladies one, the cosmetic kind. Right? But the mirror is the Beatitudes. Okay, if today you can only say that you are blessed when you have everything in your life smooth sailing, then chances are that you got your purpose somewhere, you know, lost. But even if you are feeling lost right now because something in your life is not working out, but you are coming back to Jesus and say, God, I want to have this firm purpose as my anchor, I assure you, you are still on track, right? Even though if your life, nothing is going according to what you want. So tonight, I just pray that you'll find that courage from God's word. Any of you here today that is feeling lost, that is feeling that you're not blessed, that's feeling that your life is in a terrible shape, tonight I believe God is saying to you, I'm still with you. I'm your blessing. And you have more than enough to share your blessing with other people. So why don't we just all stand, you know? I'm just going to ask Marcus to lead us in a song of response. Just going to sing a song, Spirit Touch Your Church. But tonight I would like to give us a chance to respond by just coming to the front and say, Lord, I want to rededicate my year to you. I want to start this year afresh by saying that I want your purpose to be my anchor. Especially for those of you who know you are losing purpose in life, you're not experiencing the true happiness that God is talking about, I really believe that God is calling you to rededicate yourself to His purposes. It doesn't matter what your O-level results are. It doesn't matter what your current circumstances are. And maybe even for the leaders, it could be a time for you to respond as well. You know, sometimes as leaders, we, even in our cell groups, even in our ministries, we can come to this point that we are doing a lot, but we have just lost that sense of purpose. We are just doing a job. We don't know what we are doing. And today, I believe God is giving that invitation to all of us. Right, so let all of us just respond to this song. But I feel that if you really know God is challenging you to take a step of faith this year, let this simple act of coming up to the front has saying to God, God, I'm willing, right? I'm not just going to sit back, but I want to be passionate for you. I want to anchor myself deep in your purpose once again. Right? Can we have worship team to lead us?
Lord, we need your grace and mercy. We need to pray like never before. We need the power of your Holy Spirit to open heaven's door. Oh Spirit, touch your church. Won't you stir the hearts of men? Revive us, Lord, with your passion once again. I want to care for others as Jesus cares for me. Let your rain fall upon me. Lord, we need your grace and mercy. We need to pray like never before. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to open heaven's door. Lord, we humbly come. Lord, we humbly come before you. We don't deserve or hear what we ask, but we yearn to see your glory, to restore this dying land. Spirit, touch your church, stir the hearts of men. Revive us, Lord, with your passion once again. I want to care for others like Jesus cares for me. Let your rain fall upon me. Oh Spirit, touch your church. Won't you stir the hearts of men? Revive us, Lord, with your passion once again. I want to care for others as Jesus cares for me. Let your rain fall upon me. Let your rain fall upon me. Let your rain fall upon me.
Just going to ask the team to lead us, maybe in the chorus once again. But as we do that, let's just come with a desire to allow God to fill us with passion. You know, sometimes as we go through the routines of church, maybe even for those of us who might feel that we are giving a lot to Jesus, but you know what, even in those kind of situations, you can be serving with a lack of passion. And I think that God really is reminding us today to be passionate for Him, not to be cold for Him anymore. And I just want to qualify what I'm saying, you know, is that when I think about passion, I'm not just talking about someone who's like, you know, on stage like yelling and shouting, though that can be. a form of passion. But I know sometimes when we talk about passion, you think about these images and you're feeling like, I don't want to be like that. Right? But I think true passion is something that flows deep within from your spirit. And one of the signs is really how, in the face of all kinds of life situations, that you hold firmly to the plans and purposes of God, because you believe that God is good and He will carry you through. So it's not just expressed in your physical, you know, expressions, but it's really about how firmly you grasp to it. And today, perhaps some of us, we are only holding God's purposes loosely because we have one hand holding on to something else. It might not be a bad thing, but you're just holding to it as a form of security. God is calling us to be passionate for Him, meaning you let go of everything and you just hold on to that one thing and say, as I hold on to that one thing, O God, that I believe that everything shall flow according to what you want. Whether you want me to have plenty, whether you want me to have little, that doesn't matter. But it's that one thing that we seek. Right? So as we sing once again, let us stir in your hearts the desire to commit to that one thing once again. By that one purpose that God has for you. Come on, Marcus, lead us once again. Thank you, Lord.
Your grace and mercy, we need to pray like never before. We need the power of your Holy Spirit to open the heavens, Lord, we humbly come. Lord, we humbly come before you. We don't deserve of you what we ask, but we yearn to see your glory restore this dying land. Spirit, touch your church and stir the hearts of men. Revive us, Lord, with your passion once again. I want to care for others as Jesus cares for me. Let your rain fall upon me. Spirit, touch your church, stir the hearts of men. Revive us, Lord, with your passion once again. I want to care for others like Jesus cares for me. Let your rain fall upon me.
Come, let's close our eyes. I think some of you here, when you watch such videos or you see, think about the mission field. I'm not talking about the generic Matthew 28, go forth. All of us are called to go. But you know in your heart, God is saying, hey, something is there. He's really calling you to consider something about the mission field out of Singapore that really burns, like here, really burns inside your heart. You don't really know what to do with that. And the first feeling you get is fear. Like you're just afraid. Like what would that mean for you? You're just afraid. I think God wants to just tell you that this burning feeling in you to go, it's a good thing. And all He requires of you is to surrender. It could break your heart to go. And you probably will. But in exchange, He gives you something better. And there is so much beauty in the brokenness of saying yes to Christ. And the second thing is, I think God wants to tell all of us that if you know in your heart there's not quite a fire for Him, and there are some different things, can be fears and distractions in your life, God's Holy Spirit wants to come and just set you ablaze. And it's fire, consuming fire, we sing this often, but the fire isn't going to come and just kind of like pamper you at the side. It comes like a mighty flame, because this fire comes from a jealous God. It comes to burn away all the chaff, all, okay, basically metaphor for things that are not supposed to be in your life. Distractions, fears, even sense of inadequacies, lies. This fire of God comes to burn these things away, so that you can come before Him with a pure heart. He wants to exchange your brokenness for wholeness, a half-heartedness for a whole heart. And because God is jealous for your heart, He will send the fire. You only have to come and surrender and say, God, help me. Even if your heart don't know how to surrender, like, wow, I also don't know how to surrender, just tell God, I want to surrender, I don't know how. Holy Spirit, will you help me? And you know what? God will do all the rest that's needed.
Just going to ask Marcus to continue to lead us and take time to respond even to the words released. For those in the front, just want you to focus on your own time with the Lord. If someone has a word for you, they may come by. But if not, just really let this be a time for you and God. You respond to the Lord for yourself. Right? You commit to the Lord for yourself. Just want to take some time to respond together, and by as a people of God making this declaration together. So I'm just going to lead all of us in a very simple prayer, and a prayer just to acknowledge His greatness, goodness in our life, and just to say the Lord will rededicate ourselves to You. I think it's meaningful to start the year off in this manner. So if you also, this is the desire of our hearts, join with me. Just repeat after my prayer as we declare ourselves, as we commit ourselves to the Lord. Thank You, Lord. So let's pray together. Our Father, if you're joining me, just declare it together, right? Our Father, we declare that You are a good God, that You have really installed for us everything that is good. Your plans and purposes for us are good. Though my life will have many challenges, but You remain the same. And today I commit myself afresh to You. Let what You have in store for me be my anchor. Keep me steadfast in Your ways. Keep me passionate after Your will. And Holy Spirit, lead me. I'm okay if I do not know everything, but I want to trust in You. And I'll trust Your Holy Spirit to guide me as I put myself in the center of Your will. Because Lord, we know that You will be in the center of our lives if we ask from You earnestly. Father, I just pray that You have sealed everything that You have spoken and done in our hearts tonight. As we walk out of this place, truly embedded in our spirit that You are good, that when we hold on to You and what You have in store for our lives, that we will discover that we are truly blessed in You. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Even when we are losing track, we just ask that Your Holy Spirit will come and just guide us back in that truth. So we thank You, and all God's people say, Amen, Amen.